The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
seated. It is my pleasure and privilege to be back here at St. Paul's and also have some folks from St. Augustine's here as well this morning for confirmation. Last time I was here was for Father Jenkins' ordination to the priesthood, so it's great to be back here at St. Paul's. Please pray with me for a moment. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Amen. For today's scripture and the gospel lesson, Jesus makes this claim: "No one will snatch them out of my hand." Those words are a complete statement of God's profound promise of love for us. Because you and I are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have his promise that nothing ever can snatch us out of his hands. Think about that promise. It's remarkable, isn't it? We're so enveloped in God's love that we need not fear anything or anyone because of that love. That is liberating for us. When the scriptures talk about Christian freedom, they're not talking about human rights or the things that we think about when we say freedom. It is the freedom to live fully into God's love. We never, ever need to worry about losing God's love, because as Jesus promises, we're forever held in the hollow of God's hand. We've been marked as Christ's own forever. And his promise is not only eternal life in the sweet by and by, but his promise is real, authentic, full life in the here and now. But because we're human, we often don't trust that promise. We just don't trust it. We don't trust that God holds us in God's eternal hands and that God's love is complete and full. So we fail in living into that and trusting in God's promise that will never be snatched away. Come what may, whatever happens, we're secure. But we humans have trouble trusting that promise. And I think one of the reasons we have trouble trusting in that promise is that we often misunderstand what Jesus is actually promising. We can come to think that if God really loves us, then God will provide us with everything we want on our own terms. And that usually means plenty of money, the perfect spouse, and the ideal job. We deserve, we think, a guaranteed life insurance policy that insures us against all manner of pain and suffering. And when we perceive God not fulfilling that promise or keeping that promise, we can convince ourselves that God is, if not a fraud, at least impotent to give us what we think we deserve. Now, we all long for such things if we're honest with ourselves. Who doesn't from time to time? I know I do. Deep down inside of me, I know that I like to have the divine good housekeeping seal of approval on my life that will shield me from every bad thing that could possibly happen. But I'm really greedy about that too. I not only want that, I don't want God to stop there. I want God to also not only guarantee that nothing bad will happen to me, I want God to bless me and my family with all that we desire. I want a divine piece of the rock, as that old Prudential commercial used to talk about. If we're honest with ourselves, we all go there from time to time. But God replies to us. God replies to me. Scott, I don't work that way. That's not who I am. All I offer is my love, a love so vast, so complete, and so true, and so authentic that it will exceed all that you could ever ask for or imagine. But for some of us, that's not enough. We twist the gospel so it will sanction our thirst for material prosperity and financial security. And this perversion of the gospel is usually cloaked in all sorts of pious talk. But occasionally, the truth spills out. A while back, I was watching a TV preacher who will go nameless. First name is Joel. And he was emphasizing that being a Christian is about being a victor and not a victim. TV preachers love that kind of alliteration. It really works for them, right? It's about being a victor, not a victim. And he described, I'm quoting here, being a victor this way. A victor is someone who believes that God will make them prosperous. A victor does not apologize for his wealth because prosperity is God's way of rewarding those who are faithful to him. Now let me repeat that, because you never get to hear heresy from this pulpit, right? Never, thank you. He said, a victor does not apologize for his wealth because prosperity is God's way of rewarding those who are faithful to him. Nowhere in the gospel does Jesus promise that. Nowhere. Nowhere does it promise that if we follow him, then we'll be somehow materially secure or financially rewarded. But Jesus does say, if you follow me, sister, if you follow me, brother, you better take up your cross. He said, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Following Jesus Christ means we may end up like that ourselves. That's what it means to be a faithful disciple. If that TV preacher is right, then someone should have told St. Paul before he was beheaded, or St. Peter before he was crucified upside down, Paul, Pete, buddies, you know, if you'd just been a little bit more faithful to Jesus, bad things like that wouldn't happen to you. But that's not what our Savior promises. Our Lord promises that we'll forever be held in the loving hollow of his hand. And our Good Shepherd reveals his love for us as he hangs on the cross. There's no greater love than that. Jesus dying for the sake of the ones he loves, sinners like you and me. Now, this misunderstanding of God's love distorts us into believing that God is some great cosmic Santa Claus. And this Santa Claus God rewards us if we've been good and puts coal in our stockings if we've been bad. So we hear that little Christmas ditty this way. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty and nice. Jesus Christ is coming to town. That image of God as a cosmic Santa Claus is probably the greatest lie that so many Christians accept as true. That God is making a list and checking it twice. God has taken that list and thrown it away and died for our sins on the cross. There is no list. And you can't earn your way into heaven, and I can't earn my way into heaven. There's no amount of good work that we can do that's going to impress God or make God love us more. God loves each and every one of us completely and totally, apart from whatever good or bad we do in this world. As long as we fall prey to this lie, we will fail to live under God's true and loving promise. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't live prudently, that we shouldn't save money, we shouldn't have decent clothes and have, you know, a nice place to live and a safe place to live. I'm not talking about carelessness. What I'm talking about is a new sense of freedom based on God's loving promise to us. A freedom that's bound in the love of Jesus for us on the cross. A freedom that keeps us in God's love so that we do not become slaves of a false God. Many of you, like me, heard the recent news about Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury. He learned that the man he thought was his biological father, one Gavin Welby, actually wasn't. It's a tough thing to learn when you turn 60, that the person you thought was your father all your life really wasn't. Instead, the Archbishop discovered that it was one Sir Anthony Montagu Brown, who for many years had been the personal secretary to Prime Minister Winston Churchill. In explaining what happened, the Archbishop's mother wrote that right before her wedding to Gavin Welby, she was fueled by a large amount of alcohol and went to bed with Anthony Montagu Brown. Such news could become grist for the tabloid mill, no doubt. But the Archbishop addressed it with such grace and compassion towards his mother, recognizing that she was an alcoholic at the time and was suffering desperately from that addiction. He said that he and his wife had certainly faced harder news than that in their lives. Some of you know that they had a baby, an infant daughter that was killed in an auto accident years ago. And he concluded by saying this, "I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not in genetics. And my identity in him never changes." Those are words of someone trusting in the loving promise of our Good Shepherd, Jesus. Our purpose and our identity in life is found in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. What would our church look like if we all trusted in the loving promise of our Good Shepherd Jesus, that no one and nothing can ever snatch us out of his hand, that we're always held in God's love. I think that would begin to make us as a church, in every decision we made, would be based not on what would benefit us, but what would extend the love of God to other people. We'd come to understand that we do not exist as a church for ourselves. It's not a private club, but we exist for those who do not yet know of God's love. I think God is inviting you and me and the entire Episcopal Church to discern what kind of church we're going to be. What kind of church are we going to be? What do we need to let go of? Just let go of. What false ideas about God need to be jettisoned completely for us to become a church that reflects the love of our Good Shepherd Jesus, who is always willing to lay down his life for his sheep? Such discernment can be unsettling because it may ask us to change things and to do things differently. And that can always be scary. But we have nothing to fear. Nothing whatsoever to fear. We're held in the hollow of God's loving hands. And our Good Shepherd Jesus will love us all the way into eternity. That's his promise. Amen.